Amen. Once again, we call your attention to the Gospel according to Mark chapter number 4. The Gospel according to Mark chapter number 4. We will read for you verses 35 through 41. And our focus today is going to not be as much from exegeting the passage, but kind of extracting the thought and focusing our attention on a topic. Amen. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35, and there you'll find these words. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, saying one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And all of God's people said together, Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us give our male chorus a hand clap of appreciation for sharing their gifts. Amen. And we also would like for you to bless our youth ushers on today. Amen. This group of young men and young women who do such an incredible job, and for their directors for investing in them. Amen. Amen. If the church doesn't invest in them, Satan has a great investment plan. He will make sure he can get them off track. Amen. So we thank God for the investment that is taking place within our young people and our music ministry for blessing us again. For the next few moments, I want to speak from a topical subject. Last week, we spent a little more time exegeting the text, but today I just want to deal with a topical element of the text. And our focal point today is storms are necessary. Storms are necessary. Let me get in your business for a few minutes. Have you ever cried yourself to sleep? I said I was going to get in everybody's business. Have you ever cried yourself to sleep? Have you ever walked the floor all night long? Have you ever laid in your bed but couldn't go to sleep? Have you ever dreaded returning a call to a doctor for fear of hearing the test results? Have you ever looked at the phone when it was ringing at 3 o'clock in the morning, knowing you needed to answer the phone, but fearing the message that was on the other end? Have you ever left home for work on a beautiful morning, enjoying your morning and worshiping God, and by lunchtime you are sobbing uncontrollably? All of these questions are indications that storms can arise quickly, that the shift of the atmosphere and the moving of the wind can change a beautiful sunny day to a horrible day, to a horrible storm, to embrace upon and engage unprecedented danger. That you can be riding through Colorado Springs with the sun beating down and enter into Denver proper with cars sliding from side to side because of a outpouring and a downpouring of rain. Have you ever left home and before you got to the corner, you walked out of your house in sunshine, but the minute you hit your brakes for the first time, It was a storm right there. My brothers and sisters, all of us in here, because of who we are, because of what we are, because of who we serve, storms will come our way. But the reality is, my brothers and sisters, we have to understand that storms are part of the maturing process. All of these questions that I just asked indicate storms may be headed your way. I urge you today that when that storm shows up, or if you're in the middle of a storm right now, not to run. Neither should you evacuate, but you should look for safe shelter, and that shelter is in the Word of God. The reality, True Life family, is some storms are necessary. Let the church say necessary. Some storms you don't need to avoid for your sake. But then on the other hand, there are storms that you want to make sure you know for sure if it's God ordained, or if it's Satan ordained, or if you yourself created that storm. Everything you find yourself in the midst of is not Satan. Some of that is the Savior, and some of that is yourself. There are things that Satan does to upset our lives. There are things that God does to move us to a next place in our life. And there are things that we do, and we constantly do, and say, God knows our heart. But that action places us in the middle of a storm. Marissa Wigley penned an article in this Odyssey magazine, this blog, and the title of her article, When the Storms Are Necessary. She makes these following statements. The surreal joy in all of this is that without a storm, you wouldn't have time to grow. You wouldn't have time to recover and realize that without the storm, you would have never gotten to where you are now. It is so important to take time to recognize in all your trials, your tribulations, your storms, that you are so much bigger than the water, the lightning, and the thunder that is trying to overtake you. To add to that, note your God is never under the storm. He is always on top of the storm. And when you strive to be where he is, will determine your outlook on every storm in life. If I have a desire to be where God is, and knowing that God is on top of the storms, then I too can be on top of every storm I will face in my life. I will share with you three reasons today that I believe, this is not an exhaustive list, but three reasons I believe that storms are necessary. Number one, we said it on last week, but to give you a refresher course, storms identify progress. Let the church say progress. The minute Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side, the next verse suggests, and when he did that, a verse 37 suggests, a great storm arose. Storm, as we know it, is directly attached to the statement of Christ. It identifies progress. You can never authentically hear from God and authentically purpose in your life to move according to God's plan for your life and not encounter challenge and storm. Can I get an amen? You can never say, I'm on the battlefield for the Lord, and I promised him that I'm going to serve him till I die. I am on the battlefield for the Lord and expect not to have battle. You sing the song. That's what I heard you singing when I was a little child, but now we don't expect to have battle. I cannot be on the battlefield and not encounter battle. When I'm moving in this life, I must understand that storms identify progress. Jesus said unto them, let us move forward. Let us move forward. And when he said that, there arose a great storm. But secondly, not only do storms identify progress, but secondly, storms initiate God's protection. Are y'all listening? Stop thinking you're out there all by yourself. Stop thinking that you're the only one going through it. See, what you have to understand is that nothing happens to you in the natural that God has not already ordained and established in the physical or in the spiritual, that he hasn't already established in the natural or physical. Let me help you like this. Every time you go through something, you have folk you can call whether you want to call them or not. You didn't get here without a mother carrying you for 9 months. You didn't get here without a father making Google eyes at your mother, having a little fun one night, and here you come along. You didn't get here without going to some elementary school and creating friends and having friends in neighborhood and having friends and co-workers. You didn't get where you are today without having relationship with people. So what God tries to do is he take what you already know in the natural, your relationship with people, your dependence on friends, family, and then he wants to take it out of the natural and move it to the spiritual and the supernatural. If you can walk down the aisle and stand for prayer, then you can go to God and ask him for prayer. If you can call someone on the phone and say, pray with me, I'm going through, then you can bring all of your troubles and come boldly to the throne of grace and say, God, here I am, not my brother, not my sister, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Everything you experience in the spiritual, God has already established it in the physical and the natural. So he even tells us that when you understand that, I want you to realize that whenever something comes in the spirit realm, be sensitive to that in the natural, and then you can see me working in every aspect of your lives. See, too many times we want miracles when God only wants you to just talk to him. You don't need a miracle for everything you're going through. You just need instruction from God and to do exactly what God said. Now listen to this. The storms come to identify progress, but they also come to initiate protection. It's right here in the text. I want you to see this because I want some of y'all, listen, y'all, to stop crying over everything. Stop being so weak over every issue. Stop falling away from the church when somebody step on your toe. Come on back. You got to hear God's word. Get into the fellowship. You go to work every day and they talk about you like a dog. And you keep going back and you celebrate it. God say, why are you running from what I can give you? And that is the ability to overcome your storm. Folk leave the church for any old reason. He preached too loud. The choir sing too loud. Service too long. This wasn't right. They wore black today. The usher should have had on purple. I didn't like this. What is going on? And we will go to work and celebrate people who overlooked us for the last four promotions. And we will celebrate and brag on our job. Yes. J-O-B, and won't brag on God, G-O-D. So every now and then, God has to give you a reminder of who your real resource is. If you think it's Monday to Friday, you done missed it. God say, I am your real source. Are y'all going to talk back to me? So what he wants to do, he wants to make a subtle statement to every believer today that when a storm comes, it identifies progress, but then secondly, it initiates your protection. It's just a little subtle phrase. Look at verse 37 and 39. I feel ashamed to even say that it's in the Bible, because I know you've read it so many times. It's right there. In verse 37, it says, "And there arose a great storm." In verse 39, on the count of three, I want you to read the first three words. One, two, three. Wow. When the storm arose. In verse 37. In verse 39, he arose. See, when a storm comes, that's when God initiates your protection. Because he is never, ever going to allow a storm to come when he's not on watch. Lord, have mercy. I'm like Mario today. I wish this was the Holy Church. Y'all just took a lap around the building. That's worth the price of admission. That's worth a night of sleep for somebody tonight. That's worth going home and eating your meal and enjoying it. That's worth tonight when you lay down, you will be able to go to sleep. You won't have to count sheep. You won't need a nightcap. Come on and talk back to me. You won't need any pills. You won't need any aid. You will be able to lay down and say, while this storm has gotten up, so has my Jesus. And he is going to deal with the storm as he sees fit. Wow. Look at somebody and say, I feel a little bit better now. Listen, it was subtle. I saw this in between 9 and 11. I was sitting in, I was rereading the passage. I was saying, God, give me something fresh, because somebody needs to hear something fresh. And he said, it's right there, Shannon. You didn't read it all of your life. You've missed it. But thanks for talking to me so I can show you where it is. In between 9 and 11, he said, tell the 11 o'clock, whenever a storm comes up, so do I come up. And they will never, ever be in any situation that they can't handle. Because I have ordained and appointed for them to experience calm after the storm. Now, I want to share this with you, that this is the critical point for the believer. God assigns storm, and he assigns calm. Now, everything we don't go through is God ordained and God assigned. But even so, because he loves us so much, even when we mess up, he still gives us an element of calmness. The whole church just say, thank you, Jesus. So this is what he does. He takes calm and he places it at Mount Belo High. He sits us in this beautiful sanctuary. And between calm at Mount Belo, us at True Light, he assigns storm in between. The problem of why we can't always experience calm is because we are afraid to go through the storm. Some of our prayers are just prayers that are repetitious, and God is saying, I answered that prayer in 2009. I'm ready to answer some more prayers, but I can't get you to a new place to have a new prayer life, because you want to be stationary where you are. God said, calm is at Mount Belo. You are here, but I've assigned storm to be between you and calm. And now he's sitting in heaven saying, what you gonna do? Because if you want to just stay where you are, then there's no need for me to bring calm. I only can bring calm if you're willing to go through storm. Storm identifies progress. It initiates my protection. And then lastly and finally, the storm is influenced by his presence and his power. See, that storm comes and think about it. Think about it. Let's not even be spiritual. Let's be practical. Let's be honest. It's Sunday morning, high noon. And we know that we never lie on Sunday. That's what Mama taught us, right? There are times in your life you were so busy that you just forgot to pray. We don't lie in church on Sunday. And then because it was going so well, we forgot to pray on Monday. And then we forgot on Tuesday. And now we're all the way down into September, and we're moving over into October. And the last time we really talked to God was in June when we thought they was going to cut our light bill off. And now we hadn't talked to him for a while, and God is checking the record saying, where is she? And I haven't heard from her in a while, and she only calls when the man is acting up, and I never hear from her. And he said, okay, you don't want to talk to me. I'm going to give you a reason to. Storm, shift to the east. And it's only at that point that for some of us, we remember how powerful prayer is. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. It's only at that point we remember just how good God is when we have no other option but to fall on our knees and say, Lord, have mercy. See, there are some problems, some storms that your connections with the people downtown will not help you with. There are some phone calls you will receive that will rock your world that your money can't buy you out of. There are some things that will happen within your body that all of those degrees behind your thing, your name, don't mean a hill of beans. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? God knows how to get all of our attention. He knows how to make sure we haven't forgot how to call up to the throne room of grace. And what God wants to do in your life and in mine is this word that starts with an H that is very troubling to so many of us. He creates storms to humble his children. That's why a lot of the language he uses throughout the Bible is actually child talk. Y'all heard what I said? Childish talk. Because he wants us to understand what he's saying for us to respond like children coming before a father. You ever really quoted the Ten Commandments? As articulate as God was and is and as smart as Moses, don't get it twisted when he said he struggled with his speech. Moses was very articulate. He was just trying to talk to a different people group. So he didn't understand the language per se, but it had nothing to do with Moses being dumb. Those Ten Commandments are so simple. Thou shall not kill. Child talk. Thou shall not steal. Thou shalt not recover this. Thou shalt not have any other gods. And all of those things that if you were in Bible study at noon, he covered was child talk, because he wants us to remember that we are his children and he is our father. And many things that we miss out on in the bliss of life and the happiness of this Christian walk, we forfeited because sometimes we want to act like God is our child. And we are his parents. this old song we used to sing, call him up and tell him that ain't in the book. Come to him and make your requests known. And if it's in his will, he'll grant it. Ask, seek, knock, ask him, and he will if it's in his will. But you don't go to him and tell him what you want. And so every now and then God has to remind us who does the telling. We don't tell the storm. He tells the storm. And when God speaks to the storm, the storm has to move. It has to subside. Humility. Can we say that as a church? Humility. God wants to humble us. And every now and then, he creates storms for us to be reminded that we are his children. Can I add something to it? There's nothing wrong with being a child of God. I had to be on a program with all these doctors and all that good stuff. And, you know, they was asking everybody, what is your name? I'm Dr. So-and-so, and I'm Dr. This. And they asked me, what is my name? My name is Shannon Jacob Warren. That's what my mother named me. And my daddy was there, so I got his last name. and my name ain't Doctor. I am Shannon, who was anointed by God to perform surgery. With God's word. But my name is Shannon, and I am a child of God. First time I went to an AA meeting, I never knew. I was ignorant to the AA meeting. Just meant I didn't know how things were going on. And I accompanied an elderly man. I drove him to the AA meeting. And he was about 77 years old. And he said, my name is such and such, and I'm 19. And I was young and foolish and silly. And I just bust out laughing. I'm like, why is he lying? Everybody know he's older than 19. I didn't realize he was saying that's how long I've been clean. In his humblest speech, I messed up for the majority of my life. But for the last 19 years, how better we would be if we would come to church saying, I'm Shannon. I'm 40 years old. That's when I gave my life to Christ. And I've been cleaning and in the process of being cleaned ever since. I'm not a whole bunch of stuff, but I am a child of God. I got some issues and I make some mistakes sometimes. And I don't know everything. And I'm trying to get it right, trying to love my wife, trying to be a good husband, trying to be a good father, trying to be a good pastor, trying to be a shoulder to cry on, trying to be patient. And in all that trying, I might mess up sometimes. But I'm still a child of God. And if I humble myself before him, he will exalt me before men. And he will tell men that we are his children. Storms come to initiate protection, but then they are influenced by his presence and his power. When was the last time God had his way with you? I'm not talking about Sunday morning ritualistic rhetoric. Use me, Lord, in your service. Use me. And then the pastor said, I want you to move from here to there. No, don't use me like that. No. Don't use me over there. Just use me right where I won't be. When was the last time you emptied yourself so God could pull in what he wanted for your life? Storms, God is saying, I'm calling for you to empty yourself of what you think you know. Empty yourself of who you think you are and say, now, God, help me in the middle of my storm. Lastly and finally, what I discovered living in Hurricane Alley is that every time they identify a storm, they always tell you where the eye is. That no matter how turbulent the wind and the storm, no matter if it's a category 1 through 5, if you're ever in the middle of it, there is an ability to look up, because there's an eye that has already been established to see you in the middle of your storm. Boy, look at here, I almost ran right there. There is an eye that, family, when you get in it, you may be tossed to and fro, but don't lose your mind, don't lose your integrity, don't walk away from your belief. God says, I created an eye that if you're willing to look up, look beyond the breeze, look beyond the wind, look beyond the debris, and look unto the hills from which cometh your help. There is an eye that is looking down saying, where is my child? Storms come for us to just remain and get back to that place. There's no place in the world I'd rather be than in the will and the arms of God. My wife was out of town. She's back. Praise the Lord. And this week, Shannon was getting a little antsy. Mom coming back tomorrow? No, Shannon. Tuesday, Mom coming back tomorrow? No, Shannon. And I'm like, come on, man. I told you when she's coming back. And he'd come and run into bed early in the morning. I'd kick him out. And he'd run into bed. I'd kick him out. And then one morning he ran in, and I just put my arms around him. And he was all antsy and jittery. And within minutes, he went back to sleep. Just to have a touch from the Father will calm you better than any pharmaceutical. It will make you discontinue your nerve pills. It will make you discontinue your happy hour and your nightcaps. A touch from the Father will bring you to a place of calmness where you can feel and sense a peace of rest when you know you're in the will of God. Even in the midst of the storm, you can rest. When a loved one has passed on from labor to the reward, you can rest. When you have been diagnosed with some disease in your body, you can rest. When you lose a job and walk away, when they kick you out of your house and take away your car, just tell them you can have everything. Just give me Jesus. And when you get him, he will restore unto you 20 and 30 and 60 and 100-fold when you rest in him. Every storm you go through has a purpose. Don't miss your purpose. And for the most part, it's just to get back to the feet of Jesus. Go through your storm with integrity. Raise your head. Declare you are a child of God. Let them laugh at them. Let them talk about you. They only going to do it for a season. Because in God's timing, he is going to step in with a mighty hand. And he's going to flip the script. And the people who are laughing at you won't even be able to talk to you because they won't be able to handle what God has done in your life. My brother and sister, the storm that comes your way, deal with it as a true soldier. Onward, Christian soldier. Stand and ask God to give you what you need in the midst of your storm. Because on the other side of your storm, God has promised you calm. I say, God has promised you calm. God has promised you calm on the other side of your storm. So if you're not going through anything right now, applaud, but then hook up with somebody else and encourage them. Tell them, don't give up now. Keep praying now. Don't stop going to church now. And in due season, they will reap what they have sown. Do you receive that word on today? Storms are necessary, but on the other side of our storm, God has assigned a great calm. Let us stand to our feet.